this year, amen. And we're believing God for great things, all right? And so we're believing God for what is next. So we're here in Vision Month, and let's pray that y'all let me finish this particular message. This is going to go, amen. It's going to go into February, messing with y'all, amen. And so we're in Vision Month. Vision Month is a time that we do every January of each new year, because I give you direction for what the Lord is saying for this current year, not only generally, but for our church specifically. Amen. And so that's very important that we set the year with understanding what God would have us to do, so we're not guessing. Yeah. We're not guessing. We're not playing any guessing game. And so that's what we do. We've been doing it ever since the church was starting over 7 years ago. Every January, I take this moment to give you the word of the Lord for 2024. What the Lord has shared with me to give to us specifically. Go to 1 Corinthians 13 verse 9 really briefly. Isaiah 60 is going to be our base scripture, but I always give context to everything. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 verse 9, and that reads as follows. It says, "For we know in part and we prophesy in part." It's not on the screen, but "for we know in part and we prophesy in part." That means that God will give, like I told you last week, God will give you the part, amen, but it does not mean that he's going to show you the whole thing, all right? He's not going to show you the whole thing. We see in part. That other rest is for you to trust him with the rest, all right? And so when I give you, say I'm giving you the word of the Lord, I'm giving you the part in which the Lord showed me to give to you, amen, all right? So all prophecy is the testimony of Jesus. And anything outside of that is a lie. All right. No prophecy will ever speak against the deity of God. Everyone talks about what's false prophets and false teachers. False teachers are anything that speaks against the deity of Jesus being God. Amen. And so the Lord told me that this year is the year of exposure, where what has been hidden is coming to the light. And I'm just going to give us a brief snapshot, because I believe, again, you learn by repetition, so this can sink in your heart, because I got somewhere to go and I got to get there fast. Like I told you, 2024 will be an up-tempo year where things are going to be happening so fast. From here on out, you're not going to be able to determine the seasons and the times and the changes. Things are happening so fast. So fast. And here's what the Lord was telling me to tell us, that no matter how fast things are getting, or up-tempo things seem to be, there is a pace that God has for you specifically. I say it's the pace of grace, the pace of favor. There'll be times where you'll be up-tempo. There's times where you got to slow down. Then there's times where you have to be patient, because there is something that you're not ready for, or that particular opportunity is not ready for you. And so a lot of us get frustrated, like, God, I want it now. I want it now. I've learned so much about God being a parent, because my kid cries and I'm going to get him milk because he's thirsty, right? And he's crying like I'm not going to get him the milk. I'm already getting him the milk, but the truth is he just got to be patient so daddy can come back with it. God is doing what he's doing. You got to be patient. You whining, you complaining, and then the moment I give it to him, same thing with us. You going through all of these mood swings and all of these changes, and God's saying, if you don't calm down, if you don't relax, I'm your father. I know what you need. I'm not trying to leave you hungry. I'm not trying to leave you thirsty. You crying like I never fed you before. I tell you, that really gets to you. All my prayers say amen. So I told you Psalms 90 verse 12. Psalms 90 verse 12. And so it says, so teach us to number our days. All right. Teach us to number our days, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Psalm 90 verse 12 again, it says, so teach us how to number our days. The Psalm of Moses, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. As I was telling you last Sunday, you need to understand and have God to teach you how to number your days. It is not in the length of your days, it's in the quality of what you spent in the length of whatever your length of days is, so that you can maximize your time here. Jesus only lived to be 33 years old, but has so much impact within the last 3 years of his ministry. Why? Because he maximized his days. It's not in the length of time. It's in what you do in the time you have. So I want you, like I told you last week, financial stewardship is going to be a big thing. You got to understand moving forward, there are things that are happening within the financial sector. Even for those who make six figures in different states because of inflation and all of that, even $250,000 is not thousanding like it used to. I know that's not a word, but it's the truth. This is the time that we're living in, because I'm telling you now, it's either we're getting to a place, either you're rich or you're poor. The middle class, ladies and gentlemen, with various legislation, I'm not making things a political thing. I'm just making us aware and being warned to get our affairs in order. Amen. That's why we'll have different financial stewardship classes through the various financial advisors that we'll be bringing this year. Also, I'm telling you now, there will be great exposure and unfair and legal practices coming from numerous banks this year that you're going to start hearing and that you're going to see in the news. People are going to be exposed for doing some corrupt stuff. And so wherever you bank, just make sure you keep an eye on it. Amen. Because I'm telling you, there's going to be a lot of things made known, specifically in the financial sector. I can go on about that, but I'm going to stop there because I got somewhere to go. Again, the church at large, hear me, there will be great prominent stuff coming more out about, you know, different ministers and churches and organizations and what, and some leaders are going to transition from us, and they're going to close up, but God is revealing and exposing some things to bring the true remnant forward so that it will not be a hindrance from people receiving his eternal plan.
Yeah.
You get what I'm saying? As the world is growing darker, the church can't, in the Western culture, cannot grow dim. It has to be lit up, because what is happening is that people are having a hard time seeing Jesus with all of the junk. And God will not continue to allow junk to stand in his presence and perpetrating what you're really not. And so it can happen to any one of us. Just because you're not on the seat don't mean that you're no better. Amen. You got to make sure that all of us have to live under the same grace that God has given us and live with the same calling. It didn't say pastors just walk up, walk upright. It said for all disciples to walk upright. We have a high calling that we live on. The reason why it's high, because God is not low.
Amen. Amen.
It's a higher calling.
Yeah.
All right. And so that we have to understand that. So God is bringing things to the forefront. All right. Now, let me go a little further because I got to get somewhere and I need to tabernacle at this particular place. Right. So there was just a word of warning that I think this is very vital. And I talked to you about it last week. Tell the people to be watchful and prayerful as they walk in the light. Many will want to, many are going to come to your light, all types of kinds, especially as a church and you individually, as you're walking in your true purpose, as you're being the light, because the light attracts a lot of things.
Oh, yeah.
Hear me. But here was the warning. It says you have to be, tell them to be, that they must have discernment concerning those who come with flattering words and will try to seduce them and compromise their momentum.
Yes.
Compromise their momentum. I want to help you understand there's a difference between flattery and being and a compliment. There's two different things. God talks a lot about this in Scripture. Let me help you understand. Flattery can be defined as the act of giving excessive compliments, generally for the purpose of ingratiating oneself with the subject. All right? The difference between flattery and a compliment is the benefactor. Flattery has a selfish motivation. The flatterer hopes to gain approval or advantage over the one being flattered. Compliments, however, are sincere acknowledgments of admiration spoken to praise someone else. A compliment is intended to benefit the recipient, whereas flattery benefits the flatterer. Ladies and gentlemen, what am I trying to tell you? You got to be careful, because those who may come to flatter you and disguising it as it's a compliment is really trying to ingratiate themselves to where you are. Because it is for their benefit. There's something, because you're walking in the light and you're doing this and you're doing that, there's people who want to get attached to your light so they can learn certain things and get up close of you enough. And those are where you got to be careful, because a lot of times we allow snakes to enter in our environment because you love to hear, oh, you this or you that and all of that stuff. That's why the Bible teaches you to be sober-minded. If you're not sober-minded, what happens is you're going to get drunk off of your own. You're going to become drunk off of your own hype. Are you hearing what I'm saying? When you are walking in God, is the favor of the Lord is upon you. You have to understand that wolves come in sheep's clothing. You have to understand, ladies and gentlemen, that I don't know what type of devil you know or something like that, and we don't give compliment to the devil, but you can't be naive of his scheme. He gonna come in the way of which you like, so that can help to flatter you, talk some good stuff to you, say some nice things in your ear, tell you what you want to hear. Are you hearing what I'm telling you? Because the reality of the matter is, it's to get you to compromise and slow down your momentum. You got too much on the line to allow the words of some that are trying to get close enough to you so that they can bring that knife out and get you. And then you thinking, and this is what happens when the people that are close to you who got discernment telling you, then you're acting as if, oh, you're just jealous because I relate. No, it's not. I can see the snake for where they are. And I'm trying to tell you, be careful of them. Just because somebody is praising you and putting you up does not mean that their intentions are pure. And the way that you ease into somebody's environment is not with the negative, but it's being positive and pushing them up. Are you getting what I'm telling you? You see, that is one of the biggest tricks of the enemy no one likes to talk about, is because that's how the snakes can sliver their way in, because they done made you feel good. They done buttered you up. And now you've given them your ear. Now you've given them your time. Now that you've given them that, because there be, and you can tell when something's a compliment and versus, because with flattery, it always starts out appearing like it's a compliment. See, that's why it's so hard to discern, because it sounds the same. Are you hearing what I'm saying? But then after a while, you start noticing how you start seeing how one is out for themselves after a while with just the various things they do. You start seeing they funny. Why you start to ask me this all of a sudden? And then you giving them too much access. Here's what I'm telling you, that you can be, this is what happens. Sometimes we overly expose ourselves, not realizing that, guess what? With success always attracts those who want to be hinders to where you're going. It's not so much they want to get on your bandwagon because they believe in you. It's because you have a means to get them to where they want to go. Are you hearing me? People will, oh man, they will get on you. You got a successful marriage. And this is what they do, because this is what they do. Because they envy what you have. They start praising all you just did. He's such the best husband there is. What you saying all of that for? Watch it. Y'all need to be careful. You think your girlfriend's got your back? Okay. All right. If he come available, just know. If she come available, just know. Y'all, come on, y'all. What type of church you think y'all in here? Come on, what you think this is?
Come on.
I'm trying to tell you. And then people come in churches all the time. This is why pastors get hype on their own hype. Oh, you sold this, pastor. You sold this. Listen, I've been around a long time seeing people, and they get caught up in themselves drinking that juice. And when you drink that juice, guess what happens? Pride come before the fall. Because what happens is, if you ain't checked yourself, they start juicing up an area in you that is a fault of yours. And that becomes, you be starting to be getting too big-headed, and you're not listening to nobody. And then that gets in the way of where you need to go. Then you have slowed down the whole progression of where the church was going because you didn't got juiced up on your own hype. Because the reality is you are not the only one doing what you are doing.
That's it.
You act like you the best thing since sneakers. Listen to me. You have to be careful of your surround. Don't overly expose yourself. Because God going to expose you enough, but don't overly expose yourself and leave yourself subjected to the elements. Why? Because you're going to allow that to get into your system. Come on, some of y'all know y'all got a little pride there. Some of you feel, I know, man, you got that confidence. I'm not saying you don't have that confidence. I'm a confident brother too. I'm not telling you not to be confident. I'm telling you, don't allow it to move to an arrogant place. Because y'all know what happens when people come, you know, in the arrogance. You know, the end of that word is with a double T. And there's a conjunction on it, but y'all know, you'll think about it a little later. You let it marinate and go over your head. A little go over your head. Romans 16, verse 17 and 18. Romans 16, I'm back this up with scripture. Here it goes. Now I urge you, hear me. I urge you. Paul is telling, I urge you, brethren. Note, those who cause divisions and offense contrary to doctrine which you learn and avoid them. Here verse 18 says, for those who are such do not serve our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by smooth words and flattering speech deceive the hearts of the simple. Why? If you are naive, you're going to be easily deceived. Don't be naive to think just because everyone praised you, they like you.
Come on.
You hear me? There's a difference between liking you and liking what you do.
That's it.
It's a difference between liking you and liking who you are because of whatever prestige you have. There's a difference. There's a difference. Don't be naive, because them smooth words and flattering speech is going to deceive you because you're naive. Brothers, don't think every girl who's just saying, ha, such a beautiful chocolate man, ha, 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 they didn't check you. They didn't saw what you didn't posted on Instagram, and hoping what you are flaunting is true. I hope you're understanding what I'm telling you. Ladies, you're laughing, but this is what gets you every time. You didn't saw what you didn't saw on TikTok and Instagram. Oh, my God. And the moment you got that one, because you was out there trying to fish. You know what I mean by that. And then they come in that DM with them fools and smattering words. And it, sometimes it ain't the words. It's just the looks right there. Like, oh, you got me right. Give me the looks. I'm telling you, we got to get wiser this year. You can't be falling for the same thing. Come on, man. Listen, you letting the devil, it's becoming too easy for him. Make him work. Are you hearing me? There's two sides of exposure. Because what happens is you'll either be exposed that you can handle it or exposed that you can't. And if you keep falling for the same thing, then you'll never see God open the door for you, because here's the reality. You're not ready. Oh, I want marriage, but you're not ready because you're just easily so deceived with smooth talk. It's not wrong talking good to your wife. I talk good to mine. It's nothing wrong with complimenting and all of that stuff like that, but I didn't come with the intent to flatter because I had another thing I was thinking about. That'll go over your head. Amen. Here we go. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Flattery, I'm telling you, because a lot of times, you know how a lot of churches, they get into a place of deception and a lot of division and stuff come on, is because people start drinking the juice. Oh, you pray so well, you know you should start a church.
That's it.
All of that stuff. Now, y'all know me. I mean, I oversee three churches. We send people out. There ain't no problem with that. But I'm telling you, some people I've seen in life, how some people have left out because people were saying this, flattering them with smooth words. And the moment they went out and started a church, they were nowhere to be found. Them people pumping them up. Nowhere to be found. Why? Because they just was trying to deceive you to get your position. People are weird. Y'all know they weird on the job. It's an understatement. These people are different. You get what I'm saying? So you have to be careful of that. That's why we have to live sober-minded. You don't get puffed up. You don't get puffed up. You cannot get puffed up, because the moment you get puffed up is the moment you are going to start allowing that deceit to come in your heart and you deceive yourself. The old folk used to have this saying that, what was that saying my mom used to say? It's on my side. Oh, you smelling yourself or something like that. They say that. Ooh, you smelling yourself. I was like, what does that mean? I thought I put on deodorant this morning. I thought I was all right. You smelling yourself. Because the reality is that you're starting to smell your own height. All right? Here's where we're going. Why is God is telling us this word of exposure? Why is that? Because, again, you're going to be, when you're coming into a certain place and you're walking in the light, again, it attracts many different things. You have to understand that, and you have to realize that when we walk as children of the light, it's meant for you to be attracted.
Yeah.
Why? Because the bigger reason is so that the light of Christ will shine through you, compelling men and women to come to salvation. That's why. Why God tells us not to be dim is so it can attract, so people can see the glory of God and come to salvation. How they can see how God can use an ordinary person who was flawed, but yet they're redeemed, and how that redemption can be at work in their lives. All they need to do is come into that same light.
Yeah.
That's the overall thing. Let's go to Matthew chapter 5, verse 14 and 16. I only got the 14 because, you know, but here we go. God is bringing us into a season of exposure, and it's going to be supernatural. We are coming into more light, and that requires us to live and be the light and not live dim. You are the light of the world, like a city on a hilltop that cannot be hidden. God is not trying to hide the people of God. He's trying to put you on display. And a lot of times, we don't understand that sometimes your suffering is how God puts you on display. I hear you, Job. Come here, Job, for a second. The reality of the matter is, he said, hey, Satan said he had to tell the truth in the presence of the Almighty God. He said, hey, devil, God asked the devil, where have you been? Well, I've been going to and fro, you know, trying to seek who I may devour. And he says, listen, have you tried my servant Job? Well, you know, I did consider him, but you got your hedge of protection on him. Well, and I'm guaranteeing you this. Let's put a bet on it. Oh, mighty God. If you allow me to get to him, I guarantee you he will curse your name. God said bet. This is my stipulations. You just can't kill him. You can do everything else you want to do to him, but you can't kill him. And the reality is of the matter is what God was doing was putting Job on display. Hallelujah. Ah, let me tell you, the sufferings of our present time are not worthy to be compared to the future glory. Let me tell you, understand something, that yeah, he was going through a lot, but here's the thing, is that when I'm on, as I'm being the light, because I know who my God is, though life can be lifing at the very moment, God is still my God. That the same God that allowed the enemy to take the things that were around Job, oh my goodness, it still proves to Satan that, listen, that though you may be slain, he's going to steal that trust. God, my trust is not in my stuff. My trust is not in what's around me. My trust is in the Almighty God, because the same God that may allow it to be taken from me is the same God can give me double for it. There ain't nothing that you go through in life that God ain't going to restore back to you. Ah, if I lost joy, he'll restore joy. If I lost peace, he'll restore my peace. There's nothing that you lose that God will not restore. Say, I hear you. There is nothing. See, that's where we got to get to. We got to be so rooted. Listen, if I lose this, I know I'm getting restored somewhere. Some way, somehow, God cannot allow me. Hear me. Oh my God, I'm getting into next week's message. But this is okay. Jesus was in the wilderness for 40 days and 40 nights. What happened? The tempter came on the 40th day and tempted Jesus. Hear me. But I'm going to fast forward because I'm giving you too much. Here you go. But after he was tempted, the Bible says that God sent angels. So though I may feel diminished in my spirit, God begins to restore my if you believe it, shout hallelujah. All right, this is where I messed up the last time. Verse 15. Man, that's getting to my heart right now. My God. That's building up my faith right there, because I'm going to tell you, it's some seasons that you get out of, man, and it's like, oh my God, I don't know how I survived it, but guess what? After I was done, after I was tried, after I didn't suffer a while, I'm going to come out established. Shia. Verse 15. Lord, not this time. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, put on a lampstand, but it gives light to all who's in the house. Listen, I'm not your sphere. You are the lamp and God is the light. Hear me, you are the lamp and God is the light. He says that they may see. That it put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. The problem, the reason why your house is out of order, is maybe because you haven't lighted that thing up. Because people are too under in the dark. Darkness is parading itself, and you ain't lit that place up. You ain't lit it up in prayer. You ain't lit it up to set some grown folks straight. You hear me? You ain't my stress. Hallelujah. You hear what I said? You ain't my stress. You ain't about to send me in the early grave. We about to light this place up. You better get with Jesus. Hallelujah. You better try him, not me. Because the reality is he can do way more for you than what I can do. Yes, I'm your parent, but guess what? At the same time, you need to try the Almighty God. Because the reality of the matter is your life will get straight when you finally surrender your life. That's why you're still going through the hell you're going through. Because you ain't submitting your life.
I hear you. Light it up. And verse 16, here we go. In the same way, let your good deeds shine out for all to see. Why are you trying to be not about me. Listen, God is meaning for you to shine. He wants you to shine. Why? That they, who are the they? Those who are around you, who are lost. So that they may see the good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Hear me. Let me help you understand something. Salvation is not about trying to keep my salvation. All I'm trying to do is walk out my salvation. Jesus did that for me. All I need to do is walk in the finished work of the cross. You see, here's the thing. We want to keep making it about works, works, works. And that's what Paul was telling you. Your works is not for you to keep your salvation. Your works is so that people can glorify God. He's not telling you to live righteous for the sake of living righteous. He's not telling you to live holy for the sake of living holy. No, it's for the sake so that people could see those good works and glorify God in heaven. That's the point of it all. We don't say, holiness is still right for the sake of trying to tell you how to live. Listen, if that's the way your mindset is, then you haven't really understood what grace is. Because the Bible tells you in Titus, around the second chapter or so, it tells you that grace, it teaches us to live in righteousness. So when we are scared of teaching grace, you don't understand the full content of grace then. Because grace as a teacher is trying to teach you how to live in holiness. It's trying to teach you how to live in righteousness. It's not a get out of jail free card where people try to say. No, it is so that you can learn of God, so that your behavior, your conduct will, and your mindset will start aligning up with who you really are in Christ. Everyone say, I'm working to become a better me. That is, I didn't tell you to say that. I said, people say they're working to become a better them. Let me clarify you. I have to say that y'all, I love that y'all locked in, y'all in tune. But here's the thing. I'm not working to become a better me. I'm working to become a better version of him in Christ. There's nothing about you that people like. It's the Christ in you. I know that that agitates people's souls. I'm telling you, it ain't nothing about you and I. People say favor ain't fair, but it actually is for those who walk in Christ. Those who walk in Christ, that's a byproduct of our salvation. Amen. People say favor ain't fair. The worldly folks say favor ain't fair because they don't understand how our God works. Because they operate off of the mindset and schemes of this world. To cut throat and all of that stuff like that, and that's not what we're taught to do. Hallelujah. That's why your life will always, your friends will all sometimes will envy you because they don't realize that they can have the same thing if they give their life to Christ. I'm talking about truly giving their life to Christ, not trying to add him on the buffet and the smorgasbord of all other things that you want to try to put on there to try to make it be. And you realize you ain't seeing nothing in your life. Because one minute we see on your post that, oh, the universe. The next minute we see on your post that you love God. You're confused and I'm confused. One minute you're this, one minute you're that. You can't make up your mind. God is looking for those who have a made up mind. It's nothing wrong with having questions, but let your questions lead you to him. Instead of all this other stuff. Somebody say one thing that sounds a little different and it sounds like it can be true. And then all of a sudden you start believing that and thinking that this whole thing about God is so a lie. If you are so easy to be able to move in that, then your mind was never convinced in the first place. That's when people say, how can I lose my salvation? You can't lose something you never had because your mind was never made up. Say, I hear you. Listen, I got to move. Exposure to ministry gifts in this church are coming into light. Listen, there are gifts that gifts you were not even aware of are coming into the light. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 7. Hear me. I want to get you somewhere here. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 7. Prayerfully, we can get through this. A spiritual gift is given to each of us so we can help each other. Oh, my God. So my spiritual gift ain't for me? No. He say a spiritual gift is given to who? Each of us. So you mean to tell me Pastor B ain't the only one who got gifts? Absolutely. Everybody has a spiritual gift. Point to yourself. Say, I have a spiritual gift. And it's meant to help each one of you. Verse 8. To one person, the Spirit gives the ability to give wise advice. Why you wonder why most of your people come to you? Huh? And you understand, you may have the word of wisdom and you're giving that wisdom and that's helping somebody. You don't understand how God has already been using you and you're not aware of it. And I hope it's godly advice that is, anyway. To another person, the same Spirit. And this is really what Paul's telling. We don't got different Holy Spirits. The only one. The same one. So you can't say in yourself that, well, the Holy Spirit, they're going to get this person. He not going to treat us all the same. No. You got diverse gifts, everybody. But it comes from the same person. Another, the same Spirit gives a message of special knowledge. So when you see me giving a word of knowledge on somebody and that you've seen in the church, that's what that's talking about there. That's information I would not have known other than God giving me that in the moment of time. Amen. Verse 9. To the same Spirit gives faith to another. Ah, everybody got this one right here. There's faith. God has given us what? All of us have a measure of faith. At least you should have that one right there. But there's a unique, he said, gives great faith to another and to someone else. One spirit gives the gifts of healing. This is not all of the gifts. This is just a few that he mentions here. Go to verse 10. He gives one person the power to perform miracles, another the ability to prophesy. He gives someone else the ability to discern, meaning that you got strong discernment. You're like, man, why am I always able to pick up on things? Maybe because that's your spiritual gift. Whether a message is from the Spirit of God or from another spirit, still another person is given the ability to speak in unknown languages, while another is given the ability, verse 11, it says, as Deb is helping me out today, amen, to interpret what is being said. Shout out to our son Daniel is back in the church, amen. He's working the camera. It's good to have him back home. Just need to shout out Danny boy. It's good to have him back home. All right, where was I? Do I got one more, Deb? I do. Thank you. It is the one and only Spirit who distributes all these gifts. He alone decides which gifts each person should have. That's why you shouldn't compare yourself, because every person got some based upon the wisdom of God or what you need to do. Amen. Because God knows that there's certain things about you. If I give you that, you would think it's all you. That's why some people got certain things and some people didn't. Some people didn't get the gift to sing, and you wish you could sing, because if you could sing, oh, I would be, you know. Huh? Here we go. There's certain things that you're not aware of. That's why discipleship is important. In February, I'm going to teach you even more about this. Amen? But you don't realize there's certain things that you're already doing already. It's because that gift starts to activate when it comes into a situation. How do I use my spiritual gift of discernment on the job? Is being able to discern different trends and patterns and all of this stuff like that to be able to solve problems. Yeah. You don't realize that we use our gifts in our everyday lives, but you're not aware of them. Because you have to educate yourself on those things. You get a word of knowledge, your boss asks you something, and you don't even know what's going on, but you speak to it because it triggers in that moment. See, I'm showing you how your gift is not just used in the church. It's used in your daily practices. Yes, parents have a very good wisdom, gift of knowledge. Amen. There's certain things that we already know. Hey, you don't got to tell me. But I know. I know. I know. You're like, they know. I know you know because your mother. Oh, mother girl. Is she watching or live? That's a praying woman. Amen. You know, there's things my mom, Jesus, she'd be like, you know, she'd call you and, you know, be like, no, I'm just calling to check on you. But how are you doing? Like, how are you really doing? Amen. Again, that gift is being at work. That's why you got to always be prayerful. Hallelujah. Here's one other thing that I want to also address, but those gifts you have hidden needs to come to the light too. You need to be empowered to bring it back into the light. Sometimes you've allowed life stuff to get in the way. No, you need to bring that thing back into the light. Yes, it didn't go right. Unbury the gift there. Unbury it, take it back out, dust it off, and try again. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 6 and 7 says, this is why I remind you to fan into flame the spiritual gift God gave you when I laid my hands on you. Verse 7, here's why. For God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity, but power, love, and self-discipline. Here's the reality of the matter. He's saying if you got to fan something into flame, that means you need to kindle it. And you need to keep it on the flame, because guess why? You have not been given a spirit of fear. You have not been given a spirit of timidity. You've been given power, love, and a sound mind. You got a sound mind to move in your gift. You got the love to express your gift. And you got the power to do it. That's it. Are you hearing me? Stop allowing and stop comparing yourself to this person and that person. What they're doing. Nobody want to hear from me. Nobody. You're already talking yourself out of it before you even put yourself in. Stop doing that. Fan it in the flame and see what God will do for you. when you work his plan. A lot of times we done buried our gifts because you were working the wrong person's plan. You were trying to work your own and you didn't see no results because you wanted instant gratification, but you didn't want to go with God to fan it, and that's why you allowed that thing to be hidden, because you don't want nobody to see it. You are embarrassed or you scared. You don't want to step out of your box because you are scared of what you could possibly be outside of the box. That's the problem with us. You want to live in your own little shell. You are not called to live in your own little shell. Some of us are introverts by nature, and that's fine, but what you're called to do is calling you to express to be extroverted. Because it's calling you to step out of what you will not do out of yourself. Are you hearing me? You got to fan that thing into flame. You cannot allow that thing, because guess what? Life and time is only going this way. It's only going faster and faster. And by you keep on putting it off, well, tomorrow I'll get to it. Tomorrow I'll do this. Tomorrow is not promised. You cannot live under arrogance to think that you got tomorrow. All you got is now. All you got is today. Hallelujah. All you got is this moment. Tomorrow has its own stresses and it has its own worries. All I got to do is my today. The Lord say, help me in my today. Help me in my today. Give me the wisdom for my today. How can I apply my gift today? God, give me the wisdom for my now. You want to be an see, this is why some people are going to walk in certain doors are going to open, because their gift is making room for them. But the reality is, because you didn't choose to fan it, then you're going to be jealous because you didn't choose to fan it and they're moving forward. Yeah, we are the same age and they're a lot further than I am. That's because they fanned in the flame what God is giving them. You got to fan it in the flame. You got to fan it. Well, Pastor, I don't know. Well, here we go. We got to seek it out. I got to seek it out. Listen, ask, seek, and knock, and the door will be open to you. Like I told you before, God is not trying to hide what he's made you to be. Hallelujah. You just scared of the answer. Because you scared that it's going to be something that, oh my goodness, I don't really want to do that. But it's the things you don't really want to do that makes open for the things that you possibly are going to be able to do. But if you just give God his first, Jesus. See, you think that God is trying to deny all your desires. No, he's not. He's saying, Lord, well, if you trust me with him, you're going to see how all of it is intertwined together. Hallelujah. God ain't trying to forfeit those all those gifts that are on you. No, they all gonna work together. But he's saying, give it to me first. If you give it to me first, I'm gonna show you how A is gonna connect to B, how C gonna connect to D, and all of it gonna work together. Look at somebody, say, stop being scared. Stop being a procrastinator. Stop, get out of yourself. Because guess what? It ain't for you. It's for your brother. It's for your sister. It's for the world to see. It's for your family. It's for your generation. You don't got generational wealth because you ain't fanning in the flame to give to God. Are you hearing me? Yes, sir. It's time, church. Yes, if you came for a lollipop and all of that stuff, then you came to the wrong place. I'm here to put a fire onto you so that you can be all God has called you to be. Because if you don't become, you'll conform. And I didn't come to conform to nothing. I came to transform my time and my city and my region. I came to take it all. God ain't bringing us into exposure. He ain't tell us to knock down that wall because it's what's coming. Hallelujah. It's what's coming. It's what's being prepared. All you got to do is go with God first. I got to go with God. Can I tell you a little secret? And I'm bringing this to a close. I feel I need to stop here. Yeah, I'm going to stop here. The game's going to come on. And I need to see who the Ravens are going to play. Sorry. Praise God. And the brother said, amen. Hallelujah. I'm surprised I still have a voice. Amen. We was in there going ham at that TV screen. But let me bring Reggae to spiritual. Listen to me. For team that I was debating if we were going to tell you that. Because I was wrestling with the fact, Lord, I see the momentum. I see it coming. But I'm scared that if I knock down that thing, you ain't going to catch me. I'm nervous about the whole thing. And I was looking for everything to say, not do anything. But I was on a phone call with a particular brother of mine in Christ. And I was talking to him. And the moment I was talking to him, I started encouraging him and started encouraging my own soul. Because really, the reality of the matter is that what you don't fan, hallelujah, you don't allow that thing to rise. Let me tell you, when you kindle the initial fire, here's what happens. You got to add wood on that fire. And the more, especially when you're in SOS and you need people to come find you, you can't have a small fire. You got to add on to it. The reason why that's why you got to be patient when you're doing a fire, because then you got to add in, you got to be strategic how you put things on it. And the more you start seeing that thing build up and up and up, and you're trying to figure out, and then now people start noticing you, it's in the same thing. You got to realize that TCF, what we're doing is adding wood in strategic places on the fire. And as it rises more. And then all of a sudden, hey, there's a fire of the Holy Ghost going down at this particular location. I got to see what the hype is all about. I got to see what the noise is all about. Because all of a sudden, something is rolling. Something is kindling up. It's the same thing in your own life. You just added fire. Then your business is getting attention. And then you start seeing it is rising up, and then now you done gone from handling a little bit of money, and then God has blessed you with much because you started kindling that thing and let it burn up. Look at somebody, say, kindle the fire, kindle that fire, let that thing burn, let that thing get up, because as you let it rise, people gonna say, hey, I smell smoke, I smell smoke. Where's it coming from? Where is it located? There are, I see fire. Yeah. I smell some smoke in here. And I see some fire.
Listen. Y'all looking like y'all want to learn to see some more. I'm done. I'm telling y'all, the reason why I'm going so hard like this is because you've been having a recording in your mind that is not good. I would say you have a recorder, but your Spotify playlist, because nobody has tape recorders anymore. You have CD players. I don't think not one car got a CD player in it no more. Jesus. Oh, yours. Okay, amen. Amen. You'll do. Okay, cool. Listen, I miss having one because I got CDs. Like, what am I supposed to do with all this? Man, I still got them in my car somewhere. It's right in there. Y'all know that little glove for me. I got a bunch of CDs. Oh, man. And so we have a Spotify playlist full of I can't songs on there. I'm scared songs on there. I want to be great, but I don't know how to. I'm scared that, God, you're not going to catch me there. You got the slow jams of it. You got the fast ones. What you've heard people say in your life. Where you came from. Your environment has been talking to you since you were born. Come on. Allowing your environment to dictate to you what you're going to be and what you're going to do. And you bought into it. You thought that was you. But then
There's that one song in the playlist. That one song in the playlist comes from God himself to say that you are fearfully and wonderfully made. Then there's another playlist in there. There's another song in the playlist that says, if any man be born in Christ, he's not a new of where he came from. He's a new creation. I'm not my family. I'm not my environment. I now become the byproduct of the grace and mercy of God. And so, and here's the trick of the, and here's the lie, here's the smoothing of the words from the enemy, is to keep you to play that same track list when God has put a new playlist in your system. My question is, will it become exposed to you that you are actually more than what you think you are? Because in Christ, or will it be exposed that it's going to be the same year yet again? I'm not preaching about a year. I'm preaching about what you're going to make a decision on. Is it going to be the same old, or are you going to do something different? This is my question to you. Because to do something the same thing is insanity and seeing the same result. That's what I'm trying to get across to you. Because guess what? At the end of the day, God is, you're not going to stand in front of God and be like, well, my mother and father told me I would never be nothing. He ain't going to care about that, because guess what? I told you something different. You were at Transformation Christian Fellowship on January 21st in the year of our Lord. And there was this crazy pastor that told you you could actually be something. That you could actually do something. And you can be the best of who you've been meant to be in Christ. So that the glory of God could be revealed to you. What you don't fan will be nothing more than just wood, whatever it is there, but you ain't lit a match. You haven't had a thing flicker. Some of you didn't let the thing flicker in years and don't know how to rekindle it up, but today is a new day. God gonna help you rekindle that thing again. Hallelujah. Lift your hands to Jesus and begin to talk wherever you buried it. Or if you need to be aware of it, come on, lift your hands to God and begin to pray. Open your mouth. Close mouth. Do not get fed. Come on. Open your mouth in here. In the name of Jesus. If you don't know how to speak to God, just say, just flat out tell him, God, I don't know what I did with it. Where did you leave it? Hallelujah. Where did you put it? Take it out of. Take it out. Take it out. In the name of Jesus. Breakthrough. Breakthrough. Breakthrough is in the room. In the name of Jesus. Deliverance now is in the room. We invite it. We invite it. We invite it. Restoring us the joy of our salvation again. In the name of Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus. We love your word, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You're not mad at us. You're not angry at us. You just want us to come into what you've called us to be. Hey, we're coming into it. Oh, God, without fear. You haven't given us a spirit of fear. You haven't given us no timidity. You've given us power. You've given us love and a sound mind. In the name of Jesus, sound to move forward. Sound to do what you've called us to do. Sound to hear the voice of the Lord and to move when we hear it. To give us the love that as we're using our gifts, that the love of God is just being displayed through it. And God, you've given us the power to say, hey, the same power that raised Christ Jesus from the dead is at work in your life. It'll quicken your mortal body. In the name of the Lord Jesus, you're not meant to be the same. You're not meant to fit in. You're meant to live different on a higher plane. All that God has called us to. Hallelujah. 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 We worship you, Jesus. We worship you, Holy Father. We worship you. We glorify you.
We're glorifying you. We are forgetting those things out of the high. We're forgetting what didn't go wrong. We're forgetting what didn't go right. We're forgetting the disappointment, the discouragement. Behold, you're doing a new thing. Behold, you're doing a new thing. Behold, you're doing a new thing. Yes, yes, you're doing a new thing. Arise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. Let it rise, 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 let it rise. I see smoke, I see fire, I see it, I see it, I see it over your life, I see it.
Salvation of the Lord. Hallelujah. Shalamandoro Bokorama. Yedana Masuya. Ramando Mokoramai, Etalalalo Koramasuya, Etalabasutu Mamai. Hey, glory, hey, glory, Jesus. Glory to your name, Jesus. Some breaking it here. That fear, I feel it, I see you, is breaking off in the name of Jesus. Woo! 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 Glory! Glory! Hey! I see the breaking of day. Hey, I see it. I see it. I see a cloud. It looked like a hand. And the rain is coming. It's coming to your people today. In the name of Jesus, what was held up is being released. What has been delayed, you're coming to the season of exposure.
Shamama, Shitalama Kuraba, Shitalamanura Masuya.
Spirit of timidity is breaking off of you in the name of Jesus. You are a great man of God. There's an anointing on your life. There's an anointing for you in industry, and God is going to use you in a mighty way. You are not to be timid of what you don't have or what you think you're inadequate of, because God is giving you the resources. God giving you the resources. God is giving it to you in your mind. In the name of Jesus, everything your hands touch, I declare over you that it'll turn into it. In the name of Jesus, everywhere your foot tread, God will give it to you. In the name of Jesus Christ. God. God says, you fan that thing back in the flame. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. It's not about what did not work. It's about what has happening now. Listen, your failure was meant to set you up for a success. And you need to realize that. And he said, if you're not scared, if you are not afraid to fail, then guess what? You will see what I'm trying to do in your life. What happened is you allowed the enemy to keep you there in the failure. And you didn't allow the Lord to pivot you when he needed to. There were certain places that you should have been, but you weren't there. There was, God already had the provision for you, but because you were so discouraged, your discouragement stopped me from who was on the other side to help pivot you. But God said, just because that happened, guess what? There's a new day. I'm giving you another chance, a fresh chance, a new start. And he said, what was is going to be bigger than what you thought it was going to be before. In the name of Jesus, I declare that over you. I seal the word of the Lord over you. And I decree it now. In the name of Jesus, you shall do it. And hallelujah. And there will be nothing. Nothing. Hear me. Turbulence don't mean that it's going to stop you getting to your destination. It will not hinder you. In the name of Jesus. This was a destiny moment. You was coming here today because you needed to hear the word of the Lord over your life. That it ain't gone. God's plan for you has not changed. In the name of Jesus. And God's plan for you has not changed either. It has not. I hear the word boldness. God said, I'm going to give you a new level of boldness in this year. To live in a boldness. Giving you such tenacity to go after it this year. In the name of Jesus. May God increase you with boldness. May God increase you with might. Hallelujah. Because also for where you're going, and what you know God has put on your heart, you can't go at through that door in timidity. You got to go through it with boldness. Because not many people like you have been through that door. They haven't seen the likes of you. Not many people are going through the door where God is having you through. Not many people have broken into that place. Not people look like us. It's going to take a boldness for you to knock down that door. It's going to take courage for you to knock down this door. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Stretch your hands to them. Say, Lord Jesus, give them boldness. Give them courage. And we declare the enemies they seen today, they will see no longer. Come on, give them praise. Give them praise in the house. I'm done. Give God praise in this house. Ah, come on, is that the best you got for the living God? Hallelujah. Jesus, I give you the opportunity. You cannot leave out of here without coming into the peace of God that's through his son Jesus today. He died on the cross. He was buried for you, rose again, ascended to the right hand of the Father, making intercession for you so that you can come back home into fellowship with Jesus. If you want to rededicate your life back to Christ, you can do so as well. It's not that God has left anywhere, you did, but his arms are wide open saying, come back home. And if you need a church home, Transformation Christian Fellowship is a good place for you to get plugged in. I would love to be your pastor and do life with you. I feel the anointing of God in here. With all hearts and minds, repeat this prayer after me. It's not the prayer that makes you saved. It's really the real confession of your heart. Say, Lord Jesus, come into my heart. I acknowledge I'm a sinner. I repent of my sin. And I want to make you the Lord over my life. I acknowledge you died, that you were buried, that you rose again just for me. And today, I'm giving you my life. If you really made that a genuine statement of your heart, come down, meet me here at this altar, and let's pray for you. If you're giving your life to Christ, one. Two, if you're rededicating your life, but you're saying, Pastor, I'm already saved, but I want to become a partner here at Transformation Christian Fellowship, you can join me right now where Pastor Dom is, and we'll take you and tell you more. Amen. Amen. Receive them, Pastor Dom. Thank you. Thank you. I'll hug you. I'm a little sweaty. Sorry. Well, we want to thank y'all for being partners of our church today. Amen. Praise God, everybody. Amen. So after service, come here, girl. Hey. So after service, Pastor Dom is going to take y'all in the back, and we're going to share. He's going to share more with you on how your partner and everything. Oh, we got another one. We got another one. Our boy Jeremiah.
Jeremiah.
Amen. Y'all, come on. Y'all praise God. So Pastor Dom is going to take you in the back. And